It's good to have Brother Green here tonight, and we found out that Brother Green has been in the ministry longer than Brother Lewis has been alive. And anyway, I was six, so anyway, it's good to have Brother Green been faithful these years to the ministry, to the Lord, and just keeps on plugging away. And I'm glad that he's a friend of our church, friend of mine, and he stays in contact with Josh quite often and keeps him, encourages him. And he's praying for wives for Josh. And so anyway, huh? Wife for Josh. And then wife. It might take wives. Yeah. So anyway, he's praying for a young lady that's blind and deaf and can't smell very good. So anyway, we love Brother Green, thankful that he's here, and thankful for his ministry, and I always enjoy hearing him preach. So Brother Green, you come preach for us tonight. I'm looking forward to spending the rest of the week with you, and thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, it's a blessing to be here, and appreciate the great song, and that was a blessing. I don't think I'd ever heard that song before, but it sure blessed my soul, and thank God for it. Thank God for the choir, and thank God for the congregational singing. It's just a blessing to be here. I love this pulpit. This wasn't here when I was here before, I don't think, was it? Man, it's just absolutely beautiful. It's about the best looking one I think I've ever seen in my life. And it's got a wonderful, wonderful thing, sir. We would see Jesus. That's a great thing, isn't it? We sure don't need to have our eyes on people, preachers or anybody else. Just keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace, His goodness, His mercy. And what our brother just sang about, my goodness, how in the world could anyone who's saved want to go back to the world? I just mentioned, I don't know, four or five people struggling after what Jesus Christ has done for us. Lord, help us just to stay faithful, determined to do the will of God. So how old were you?
Six.
So you were born in 1954?
1970.
I started preaching in 1970.
That's when I said I was six.
Oh, okay, and you were six.
I was born.
That's what I thought. I've been preaching 51 years, but I've been in evangelism since 76. I didn't think you were that old. You looked that old, but I didn't think you were that old. And I appreciate meeting Brother Lewis today and April. And I told her today, it's a good thing you weren't born in December. That would have been a terrible name for a pretty little gal, calling her December. But it's a blessing to be here. And since I was here, I've been blind in my right eye since I was about 21 or 22 years of age, and I had a cornea transplant back in 83 or 4, somewhere back in there, and it didn't work. I guess I got my cornea from somebody that was going blind. I did on the way to the hospital. I lived in Lansing, Michigan then, and the hospital, went to University of Michigan Hospital in Ann Arbor. And on the way there, I got to praying. About halfway there, it was about an hour drive or so. I got to praying, and boy, it dawned on me. I said, God, please, I don't want a woman's eye. I'd hate to look at things the way they look at things. So what I do, I get an eye of somebody going blind. So that was just, I guess, the way the Lord answered that prayer. And so I've been very, very poor eyesight all these years, but I was preaching on Mackinac Island in Lake Huron a couple of years ago at a retreat, Christian retreat, and I happened to mention what I just mentioned. There was a young preacher there and his wife, and so he came to me and he said, you know, my wife has the same disease in her eyes that you have in yours. It's called keratoconus. And I said, really? And he says, yeah, she's just gotten these contact lenses, they're called scleral lenses, and she has 20/20 vision. So I asked my eye doctor and said, I think I might be able to do it. Long story short, I have contacts now. I have 20/30 vision in both eyes. which is absolutely amazing. The only discouraging thing about it is all these years at preaching, I couldn't see anybody's expression on their faces beyond the second row. And now, I thought everybody liked me. I really did. But I can see the scowls, and I can see all that now that I couldn't be. And I'm talking about auditoriums that are 1,000-seat auditoriums. I can see 200 feet back there and see people. I didn't even know people had noses and eyes in the back rows back in the day. But it's been a blessing to be able to see. I think we take a lot of things for granted. I can see. Oh, I can do this. I can walk. You know, I have a handicapped son. Been crippled since 1987. Had a stroke with a 14-year-old boy. And he's on the mission field of Mexico. Been involved in starting 7 or 8 churches, so he's doing pretty good as a crippled boy. I don't know what your excuse is for not serving God. Now, I don't say that smartly either. I say it concernedly. I'm concerned about people that have 2 good legs, 2 good arms, everything going for them, and they will not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And what our brother just sang about him. My goodness gracious. Well, it is a blessing, and I'd like to have us look in our book tonight. I don't want to be... I've only got one page, so it's not going to be very long. I know our brother's going to preach after I get done, and so I don't want to be long. But I want you to look in your book, if you would, to the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. The 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 27, but I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to keep going into the next chapter. And so don't think I'm done when I get to verse number 30. What I want to talk to you about is in response to the fact that Jesus had dealt with the rich young ruler. And you know what he did. He turned his back and walked away. He thought money and wealth was more important than having Jesus. And he walked away. And this is what Peter says in verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses and or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went away. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. When they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Now this is a key verse. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last should be first and the first last. For many be called and few chosen. I'm going to speak to you in a moment after I have a word of prayer on this topic. We are His. So what else really matters? Father in heaven, it's a wonderful thing to belong to You. To be able to call You my Father. To know that Your Son, Jesus Christ, is my Savior and my friend and our elder brother. And that the Holy Spirit lives inside of every single one of us. And we have a home in heaven that no one can take away from us. And we can have victory. Amen. And as was sung earlier, we are on the winning side. Amen. Sometimes I guess it looks like we've been defeated. Sometimes it looks like we're at the bottom of the barrel. But God, we can be on the top of the heap with the help of God. I pray You'd help us to be an encouragement and a blessing to Your people that are here tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now what's been read is in response again, I say, to the rich young ruler being dealt with and him going away and not interested at all in what Jesus Christ had to offer. I think this is a parable in chapter number 20 because of what it says in verse number 1, the little phrase, like unto. It's not necessarily a specific person. And the key verse again is verse 15 in chapter 20. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? We are His. So what else matters? I want you to consider this initially. Don't worry about what God does with other people. Don't worry about what others have. See, the theme of Peter's complaint, and I think the problem with the folks that are mentioned as a parable in the 20th chapter is they didn't think life was fair. They didn't think that they were getting what they deserved. In verse 10, it said those that were first, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured. They complained. They were upset that they didn't get as much as they thought they should have gotten. I want to tell you something tonight. Life is not fair. But I am thankful tonight that we don't get what we deserve. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell tonight. Thank God for His grace. These fellows, they're critical. They're complaining. That's an interesting thing too about old Peter. He's quite a character in the Bible. He said there in verse 27 of the previous chapter 19, he said, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Well, what are we going to get? See, you know what he said, we? He didn't say I. You know, isn't it interesting how people like to bring others into their conspiracy of criticism? You know, you hate to say, I'm the guy that's got the problem. You know, we all have the problem. I've been reading I think the most convicting book besides the Bible I've read in the 21st century. And a friend of mine sent it to me. It's a new biography of a preacher of a bygone day, Leonard Ravenhill. And in that book, And I didn't know that him and Tozer were good friends. Ravenhill would preach revivals for Tozer when he pastored in Chicago, in your town. And there's a little quote in there. Ravenhill said this to Tozer one day. He said, "It is sickening to see the children of heaven acting like the sons of earth." Isn't it a dumb thing when we act like the worldlings out there? We get upset about things that don't even matter. We get disturbed about things that we ought not to even have anything to do with. Don't worry about what he does with others. I want you to consider something else. Don't get upset how God deals with his own. See, the great thing tonight is we are his own. We belong to him. Now these first guys that went to work in the story, the Bible said that they agreed for a penny. But all the rest of the guys, they just went to work. They had no guarantee. They just trusted that things would work out okay, even though they were not told. The good man of the house said, "Whatever is right." Now I want to say to you tonight, God is going to do what is right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
For his children.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we become barterers instead of believers. We're more interested in the finances than being faithful. We're more concerned about the prize and not the purpose. You remember when Jesus had died and rose again? And disciples, they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it at all. When Mary and Mary Magdalene, all of them, they didn't believe it. Last chapter of the book of Mark, chapter 16, they didn't believe it. There's three or four times in there. They said, "We don't believe that. You know what you're talking about." Well, a week later, Jesus shows up. They'd gone up to Galilee. And Jesus shows up, and they were all there but one guy, Thomas. And so the next day or so, they run into Thomas, and they say, "Jesus rose up." "Well, I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe him unless I can put my fingers in his nail-scarred hands and put my hand in his side. I'm not going to believe it." Well, about a week or so later, Jesus shows up again, and Thomas is there. And Thomas, you know, he said, "Come and touch me." And Thomas said, "Well, I don't really need to do that." He said, I believe. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those that have not seen, and yet they believe." That is every single one of us in this room that are believers. I have never seen him. Now, Oral Roberts has. He said he was a 900-foot Jesus that stood at the end of his bed. My goodness gracious, he must have had a pretty high-ceiling house now. Every single one of us in this room that's saved, we have more. We have received more than we deserve.
Amen.
Now that's the first 2 points of a 3-point message. Those 2 points are done. The third point will last twice as long as those. So don't get in a hurry. My last thought is don't give in to self-deception. Verse 16 is a great equalizer. "So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." No matter the circumstances of life, when you got in the Lord's work, maybe you've only been saved a year or whatever, every single one of us is going to receive a penny. We're all going to get the same thing when we get there. That's what he's talking about. We're all going to, he told Peter this. Now, they're going to have something that we're not going to have. They're going to have 12 thrones, and they're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And but, he said in verse 29, "Everyone that's done all those things shall inherit everlasting life." We're all going to have that. What more could you want than everlasting life? I'm never going to die. This old carcass of clay might go back to the soil and the dust, but the real Tim Green, I'm going to be in heaven forever. I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Now, I know many are called and few are chosen. I was I got 4 or 5 stories here, and 2 of them I get mixed up every once in a while. I was preaching in Millbrook, Alabama, and the church there had eight different apartments. They're all hooked together. Maybe there were 4 here and 4 there. And so they had a big Christian school at one time, and they put their teachers in there. But when you go there to preach, they put you in that, in one of those apartments. So it has a downstairs, has a kitchen, dining room, upstairs, 3 bedrooms. When I go there, I preach in, I sleep in every different bed, you know, just to mess up everything. And I want to confess another thing. I am a snoop. I really am. If that's the worst thing I've ever done in my life, I'm doing pretty good. Like, you know, I'm a look in these drawers here that the pastor's got. I don't know what this is for. And happy Easter, that's a little bit past, preacher. And that must have been his message, I guess. I don't know. And here's something else. I don't know what. He's got a lot of stuff in here. And I was snooping in that apartment. And pulling drawers out and looking at things. And I found a book. And it was called Evidence Not Seen. It was the story of a lady by the name of Darlene Rose. I could hardly put the book down. Darlene Rose and her husband were missionaries in China before World War II. When the war broke out, they were incarcerated in a Japanese internment camp. He died maybe a year or two in. She lived all the way through. She was 8 years in a Japanese concentration camp. All kinds of difficulties, all kinds of problems. Terrible, terrible things happened to her. And one interesting anecdote, she got put in solitary confinement for something she did wrong. She witnessed to the commandant of the camp. She witnessed to him so much that on the last few occasions that she witnessed to him, he would break down and weep and rush out of the room, go into his office, and just leave her standing there. And she couldn't be dismissed until he would come and dismiss her. And it infers in the book that perhaps he eventually was converted before it all came down. But she told about being in that solitary confinement. And the first day she was there, they brought a little handful of rice for her to eat. And when she looked at it, the rice was moving. And she realized it was maggots on top of the rice, and she knocked those maggots off. And the guard hit her hand and knocked all the rice to the ground. He said, "If you're not going to eat the maggots, you're not going to get any more rice." And she went days and days and days with nothing. There was a little crack in the door. That was her only horizon, just right through there. And she noticed one day a woman, few minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes or so, she'd come by that little crack and she could see her and she was captivated. This woman did it every day. And one day she watched that woman and she knew about when she'd be coming through there. And she saw a hand reach through the hedge with a banana in it. And when that woman came by, she grabbed that banana, something to eat. Darlene said, "I fell to my knees. I said, 'Lord, I'd love to have a banana. Just one banana.'" The next day, the door opened to her cell. And the guard had over his shoulder a bunch of green bananas, 72 of them. And dropped them on the floor in front of her. She said, "I ate one a day for 72 days. She said, "Those rotten ones down to the end, those brown ones, they tasted just as good as they did the first day I had them in my possession." Now, how in the world are you going to stand before God? I mean, thinking about it from our human standpoint, how can I stand there? And a Darlene Rose went through that. And we had been out of shape because, you know, we had to wear a mask to go to a restaurant. A restaurant where we had all the food we could possibly eat. We belong to Him. It's all going to work out. I was preaching in Pennsylvania a couple, 3 months ago, and I had a big, tall guy, 6'10". I don't like this. You know, you get to a meeting, and they say you're going to be preaching with some guy, and you don't even know him. You know, kind of like having to preach with Brother Lewis here. I didn't know. I never met him before. Never even heard of him before. This guy was 6'10", big old guy. Had quite a story, background. God saved him. And he was a real stern preacher. I don't know if you're a real stern preacher. Boy, he was stern. But when he got ready to leave, he handed me a little book. It was called Alone with God by Richard Wurmbrand. Richard Wurmbrand was a Romanian preacher. I've read his book 40 years ago plus, of Tortured for Christ. They made a movie of his life, Tortured for Christ. But I read this book, Alone with God. He was in a Romanian concentration camp for 15 years. And 3 of those years, he was in solitary confinement. Never saw anyone else's face for 3 solid years. Food would just be shoved under the door. How's that going to work out? That little book, Alone with God, they were sermons that he preached to himself and God while he was in the prison cell. And he made them rhyme so that he could remember them after he got out of prison. Alone with God. We belong to him. It's all going to work out. I read a book. I'm not giving you a book report. But I read another book just recently called... The title is an affront to my heart, really. But a friend of mine mailed it to me. It's called The Insanity of God. Anybody ever read that book? The Insanity of God. The first half of that book... this guy got saved in Kentucky, and he went to college, and then he went to over to Somalia. Spent 15 years in Somalia. Never won anybody to Christ. Never got the language. Couldn't speak. No Muslim. They didn't care anything about him. He watched people die by the hundreds, by the thousands. He fed a lot of people, helped people. He buried his own 14-year-old boy over there. Had an asthma attack. They couldn't get him to the doctor, and the doctor they got him to, he just died. He come from back from that a little disillusioned. And when he came back, he stayed home a year here in America, and then he decided to travel the world and find out what in the world's going on with these Christians that had been behind bars and things. So he went to Russia, and he met a pastor who had been in a Russian concentration camp for nearly 20 years. No, for 15 years. And he said, I'd been there for 15 years, and he said they were going to kill me. Finally came to the day, you know, they had tortured him and tortured him and tortured him and tortured him. Unbelievable things they'd done to this man. And he said it was the day they were going to execute me. They brought me out to take me to the place where they were going to kill me. There were close to 1,500 other prisoners in there. Guys in there for political reasons, guys in there just crooks, just bad men. There were no other Christians there. He was the only Christian in this particular concentration camp. But every single day when they had to stand out in front of their cell, this man would lift both hands up in the air and sing praises to God. Perhaps a song much like our brother sang a few minutes ago. He would put both hands up there and sing that song to the top of his voice. When they brought him out to take his life, let's say there were exactly 1,500 there, so 1,499 besides him. All of those men, when they saw him being taken away, they all put their hands up in the air and sang that same song that they had heard him sing for 15 years. The guards were so flummoxed that they put him back in his cell and didn't take his life. How in the world? I mean, when people like that stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I want to be way in the back somewhere. But we're all going to receive a penny. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. People have a lot of problems. People go through unbelievable things. I'll give you one more to think about. Oh, my. This guy went to China, went to Red China. I've been to Red China. I was there 3 weeks one year. I preached one day, preacher, for 6 hours. From 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. To about this many people. And just sit there. You wouldn't sit here 6 hours tonight and listen to me. And Brother Lewis. They sat there for 6 hours and listened to me preach through an interpreter and didn't want me to quit. I was supposed to preach in a 3C church. But if a 3C church got up to 120, the government would come in and close them down. But he was over there. This guy was over there that wrote this book. And he went to a meeting way out in the middle of Red China, not near the big cities. And they got it around that he was going to be there. And there was only supposed to be a few people, but 150 pastors and leaders of churches came. 150 pastors. And he talked a little bit and spoke to them. And when it was done, they opened it up for questions. And one pastor, Chinese pastor, raised his hand. And he asked this question. He said, do all American Christians have a copy of the Word of God? Do they have their own Bible? He said, everyone has their own Bible. He said, most have several Bibles. I must have 50 personal Bibles at home. People have given me, and that I've some old ones that I've read so many times and marked up that I've put them away. He said, they have multiple Bibles. He said, when he said that, the entire, all 150 plus people began to weep. He said to the interpreter, did I say something? Did I offend them? The interpreter with tears in his eyes said, no, you didn't offend them. He said, between these 150 preachers, pastors, they have one Bible. One Bible. And they meet every 30 days. And they rip a page out, and you get a page, and you get a different page, and you get a different page. And they preach from that for 30 days, and then they come back and get another page. What are you going to look like next to those kind of people? There's Christians in this room, and it's not the biggest crowd in the world. You haven't even read your Bible today. There's Christians in this room, you've never even read your Bible all the way through in your lifetime. There's Christians here. It's the last time I'm going to church tonight. I'm going to pack it in. I'm not interested anymore. Preacher mentioned people, I think people that your church loves and care about that sit in these pews, and they don't even go anymore. I got preacher friends tonight. I told your pastor today, I got three or four of my preacher friends younger than me who have dementia. They can't even talk anymore. I got a preacher friend on my telephone. I'll never erase it. Tremendous voice, one of the best preaching voices I've ever heard in my life. Brilliant man. Very successful church. Very successful ministry. On television, on the radio. Owns radio stations all over Tennessee. He got dementia when he was about 60. He got saved when he was 10. And so I never heard of this in my life. They had a 50th new birthday party for him. Surprise party. for his being saved 50 years when he was 60. I preached, two or three other preachers preached, had a fabulous meal catered in the church. 300 or 400 people ate at the thing. And he was surprised completely. I got ready to leave. My wife was with me. And his wife came up to me and she whispered, she said, "Brother Tim," she called her husband's name, "I think something's wrong. I'd like to talk to you about it." I said, call me. I'll talk. What's wrong?" She said, "I don't know. He's not right." He called me about a year, maybe a little over a year ago right now. Maybe 64 years old now.
Hi, Tim, brother Tim.
I couldn't make out anything he said for the next minute. People got a lot of problems. I got a preacher friend I was supposed to preach last Sunday. A retirement and merger of two churches. A preacher friend of mine, my age, he's got dementia. Had a lot of problems in the church. He did one of the dumbest things you could ever do, pastors. Had a vote of confidence. And he didn't win. He'd built the church. He'd built the building physically. He had built the church. They used to run 400. Place was packed. Preach revivals there every year. He said, "Get out if you don't want to vote for me." And they got up and left. His wife called me maybe 2 years ago now and asked me to come preach a revival. Said my husband, and he was starting to get bad a couple of years ago. There was 40 people there. And that was with the help of another church that had 20 and brought their 20. Just 40 people. A huge auditorium. And now he can't preach anymore. He thinks he does. He has a Sunday school class, 5 people meet in his office. They're trying to merge, trying to get it straightened out. People lose their churches. People lose things that really matter. I'll be going to Alaska in September. I go there every other year and preach in Barrow. You can't get any farther north than Barrow and still be in America. About 3 years ago, a preacher called me on the phone. He said, "Brother Tim, would you pray for our little daughter, Isabella?" I called her Bella. Said she's got leukemia. So it went from Barrow, the hospital, to Fairbanks, the hospital, to Anchorage, the hospital, to Portland, Oregon. In about a year of struggling, that little precious girl passed away. Just nearly 6 years of age. I was up there 2 years ago. Again, I'll be there in September. And I was there in 2 or 3 days preaching a revival. And after a couple of days, I said, "Did you bury Bella? Did you bury her up here?" He said, "Yeah." I said, I'd like to go to the cemetery. There's not a tree within 500 miles of Barrow, Alaska. There's nothing any taller that grows than that right there, foot and a half. Just tundra. Just ugly, ugly place. It's not a beautiful cemetery where they put their little girl's body. He had to take a 4-wheeler to get to it. Mud that deep. Just black volcanic sand, gravel, in that cemetery. The little pile of rocks around a space about the size of that pulpit right there. And I stood there and looked at that little grave with those kids. I put my arm around each one of them. And I whispered in Lori's ear. I said, "Lori, I'll tell you something about this." We had prayer. And I got done praying. I said, "Lori, I'll tell you something about this. God only allows things like this to happen to people that He can trust." Why do we serve Him? Why do we stay faithful? Am I going to complain?
I'm going to say, hey, I should have gotten more. Should I be like Peter and say, hey, I've forsaken all and followed thee. What am I going to get out of this? Don't give in to the self-deception that you deserve more than you're getting. You've got a choice. You can serve God because you love Him, or you can serve God because He loves you. What do we get out of it? We're going to get the same thing Peter got out of it. See what it said? Everlasting life. Now, I used to hear Brother Roloff preach a lot. I preached with him one time down in Georgia. I would have preached with him probably together in the same service like I will with Brother Lewis. But my wife called me up. She says, Tim, I went to the dentist yesterday and I've got to have emergency, all of my wisdom teeth pulled out. Will you come home? What am I going to say? Now, honey, I'd rather preach with Brother Roloff than come home and help you get your wisdom teeth pulled out. I got on a plane and flew home. And we'll be married 51 years next month. Maybe that's how our Kepper, I don't know. But Brother Roloff used to sing, and he couldn't sing. He couldn't hardly sing a lick, and I can't either. But I must sing. Sometimes on the mount, when the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of the night, God leads His dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but thank God all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. We are His. So what else matters? Father, we thank You for my... That's a wonderful thing to be able to call You Father. It's a wonderful thing to belong to You. I'm not looking to see what I can get out of the ministry. I'm interested in what I can put into it. I'm interested in see how I can help somebody. Be an encouragement to somebody. To help somebody to be faithful. Help somebody to turn around, go in one direction and go the other direction. To be faithful. Amen. I pray, Lord, You'd bless this church, these other churches that are represented here tonight by pastors and friends. I pray, God, You'd help us just to stay faithful to You for Jesus' sake.